and welcome to the MBOM podcast, where you'll learn to master the business of yoga. MBOM is a proud part of the Wander Barn podcast network, and I'm your host, Amanda Kingsmith. I'm a 500-hour registered yoga teacher, a yoga business coach, and a total business geek. Here at MBOM, you'll learn everything you need to know to create a sustainable yoga business by learning from myself and guests from around the world about how they built their yoga businesses. And about how you too can become a successful yoga teacher, studio owner, and much more. All right, let's dive in. Hello, friends, and welcome back to another episode of the MBOM podcast. I am very excited that you're here with me today listening to this episode. This episode is brought to you in part by OfferingTree, an all-in-one, easy-to-use online business platform that I've been working with for years. If you're looking to save time, energy, and money in your yoga business, I definitely recommend that you check out OfferingTree. And of course, don't forget to grab your special discount at offeringtree.com/MBOM. I also created a pretty cool little mini course that is completely for free with OfferingTree that I'm going to be telling you about a little bit later on. So stay tuned for that. And one of the coolest parts about that little mini course is that it's actually really related to the topic that we're talking about today. And so let's dive into that. Today on the podcast, we are talking about video on demand and how to use video on demand in your business to scale. And when I say that, I mean, how do you use it to grow? And so we're going to dive into all things video on demand so that you understand what it is, how to use it, how it can benefit your business, and so much more. And then, of course, I'll give you more details about the free mini course so that you can get access to that and dive in further to this topic if that's something that you're interested in. So let's get started. Let's start by just talking about what video on demand is. And I think that probably most of you have experienced this in one form or another over the last, 18 months through the pandemic, but maybe you're not exactly sure what this really is or what it means for the yoga industry. So I like to kind of compare video on demand to like a Netflix model. So when you think about Netflix, when you sign in, basically you have access to all of the content that is there and you have access, anytime, anywhere. And we'll talk a little bit later about different pricing models because obviously Netflix uses a membership model that gives you access to everything, which is one way of doing your video on demand. But before we get ahead of ourselves, I want you to just think about the idea that you can go onto a platform, there's videos available, you can watch them anywhere, anytime. And that's essentially what we're thinking about when we think video on demand for our yoga businesses. So the way that yoga studios and yoga teachers have been creating video on demand has been by either recording their online live stream classes and then uploading them to a platform for people to watch later, and or making separate and specific videos that they upload. And I personally think that one of the best ways to do a video on demand platform is to have a variety of both of these things. And this was something that both of the yoga studios that I work with quite closely set up pretty early on in the pandemic. And I'm not going to lie, when we first got started, it was pretty shaky. The quality wasn't very good, but we just thought, hey, we have, these videos that we are now streaming on Zoom, we're hitting record on them. Why don't we put the videos somewhere? And a lot of that came from the fact that we wanted people to not cancel their memberships. And we were having a lot of tech challenges in the early days of being online. So things like the Zoom link wouldn't work or people couldn't get in. There was a huge learning curve for a lot of our students. So being able to send them the recording of the video after was really, really helpful so that they were still incentivized to keep their membership or still pay for the class. And as things have progressed over the last couple of years, we've really been able to cultivate this video on demand space into something that's more curated, more organized, higher quality. And that's really what we're looking for when we talk about video on demand, is a space where people can go and they can choose a variety of different videos of different lengths and different styles. And, if you're a studio, maybe different teachers, and then they can choose the experience that they want to have. And so video on demand can be hugely beneficial for your business. Like I said in the beginning, it's a great way to scale your business or to grow because it can be a source of revenue on its own. So you can be selling the videos separately, either as like individual prices or as a rental price or as a separate membership, kind of like the way Netflix does. Or you can have them as like a bonus that's included for your membership. And this is a huge incentive for your students to stay with you. And it's also a great way to connect with your students anywhere and at any time. So one of the things as we've transitioned from this completely online world back into this in-person world or maybe a hybrid world is that for a lot of us, we've gathered students that were not in our geographic location. And it's kind of unfortunate when you've got students that are maybe located a couple hours away or in a different time zone or a different province, state, or even country, and all of a sudden they can't practice with you anymore because you're back to offering classes in person. Well, obviously, it's great to be offering classes in person, but with a video on demand library, you can actually serve your students who are not geographically located. So there is a lot of opportunity for you to have an additional revenue source because you can stay connected with your students anywhere and anytime. And then just on top of that, you know, this is a great opportunity for students even in your geographic area who were unable to attend your schedule or are unable to attend your live schedule to be able to practice with you. So I think that it's giving people a lot of opportunities to practice in ways that they weren't previously able to practice with yoga teachers prior to the pandemic. Now, of course, video on demand is not a brand new concept. Since the start of the pandemic, there were platforms that were online doing video on demand memberships or had kind of these like Netflix style yoga memberships that you could do online. Traditionally, though, this was done with maybe like the more popular, more famous yoga teachers. And because they're hard to access in day-to-day life for classes, it's a pretty cool opportunity to practice with like your favorite sort of, you know, yoga celebrities and that type of thing. Well, now there's this opportunity for all of us to be able to keep in contact with our students or to have videos available for our students who can't practice with us live or don't want to practice with us live. And I know that one of the things that somebody asked me when I was talking about this on a little webinar that I did is like, why would I create a video on demand library and try to compete with a company like Glow Yoga or something when they have all these like, you know, very high level famous yoga teachers? And one of the things I was saying is that I think people are actually looking to connect with their, you know, favorite neighborhood yoga teacher. People like connecting with the yoga teachers that they know, and it's very fun for them to be able to take, you know, you on holidays with them, or for them to be able to practice, you know, on a day where they have a crazy work schedule and they can't get to the studio for them to still be able to do their favorite classes. So I think that there are a lot of opportunities for all of us to really create this type of video on demand library in our business. So when it comes to a video on demand library, one of the questions you might be asking is, what do I actually include? And I mentioned this just briefly before, but one of the things that I think you can certainly include is recordings of any of your live stream classes. So if you're doing any Zoom-based classes or, you know, running any classes online, hit record on them and put them up for later. This is really great if somebody misses a class or if they're like, man, I really love that class. I wish I could do it over again. Now they can. And this is a great way for you to repurpose your content. So anything that you are teaching that is online, you know, via a platform like Zoom, I would say definitely be recording and adding these to an on-demand library. And then, like I said before, you can curate content for your audience. So this would be if you sort of think about the idea of like a YouTube channel. So if you were going to start a YouTube channel, what types of videos would you include? Obviously, a YouTube channel is going to be a little bit different because it's going to be put out there for free for anyone. So you might be teaching a little bit differently or setting that up a little bit differently. But basically, I would think about curating content as anything from, you know, 5 minutes to 75 minutes of content. And you can teach, you know, all levels flow classes. You can teach flow for before bed. You can teach yoga for anxiety, yoga for depression. I would really think about who is in your audience and then what your expertise is and really teach to that. And you can create content that really varies in length and time and theme and just play around with what people like, what people are watching, what people are asking for more of. And I think that always one of the best strategies to figure out what people actually want is to just talk to them. So if you are offering live classes, either online or in person, or maybe even both, just spend a couple of minutes at the end of class asking people what they want to see more of, what they'd like to practice, you know, what sort of ailments they have in their bodies or challenges that they're working through with their practice. And then you can create videos for that, because that will be really beneficial for them. You know, you might have a student who is really trying to work on headstand. And so creating a video on how to prep the base for headstand and some exercises to work towards strengthening a headstand might be something that they might be really interested in. Or you might have a student that is really trying to meditate on their own. And so maybe creating some videos on meditation could be super helpful for them. And while I'm always a big fan of doing market research to see what other people in the market are doing and offering, which you could definitely do, look at other people's video on demand platforms to see what they're offering, I think in this case, the best way to figure out what your people are going to want is, like I said before, talking to them. So your people will be your best market research. So while you can look at what other people are doing to get ideas, to get, you know, thoughts on how to organize your videos, on pricing, et cetera, really talking to your students is going to be some of the best market research that you can personally do. Now, one other thing that I want to talk about when it comes to curating our content, so creating these videos that are, you know, kind of separate from our live stream classes, is actually making time to record these. Because I think that when we have a schedule that's out on our website that, you know, we are accountable to other people to show up for, it's really easy to just hit that record button and then you've got this whole class that you can upload. Sure, you need to actually like spend the time like downloading, maybe doing a bit of editing at the front and back. Maybe you want to add some nice little, you know, front intro cards with what it's about, maybe some imagery, something like that. That's up to you. But you have the content already. So how do we actually, you know, make sure that we prioritize doing the other types of content? And so one of my biggest tips for this would be to schedule blocks of time weekly where you can sit down and record videos, edit videos, and upload videos. So you might not be recording every week, but you want to have some time to actually work on your video on demand library so that you're always, you know, producing content. And create a content calendar and schedule so that you can stay organized. So if you know that you're going to put out, you know, X amount of recorded videos and then X amount of other videos, I think it's pretty easy to stay on top of a schedule of maybe putting out like 1 to 2 new videos a week, especially if you're teaching, you know, 5+ classes a week that are all getting recorded. And so basically what you need to do is look at your schedule, see how many classes you might be teaching on your own that you might be able to use for your video on demand. Think about how you want to utilize those if you want to put them up right away. And then think about how many videos you want to put out in terms of this curated or new content that people haven't seen previously. And I would say you really don't need to be putting out like a video a day or anything like that. I would say 1 new video a week is going to be plenty for your students, especially if you have a couple of videos already in your library. So schedule those blocks of time weekly where you can just get this done. So maybe you have like Tuesday mornings from, you know, 10 to 1 is like your time block for being able to actually work on video production, and then take that time seriously. So you're either sitting down to record videos, or you are sitting down to edit videos, or you're going to be uploading videos, whatever it is, make sure that you've got like a weekly plan for actually getting the videos out. Because when I used to be teaching more online and running a YouTube channel, I feel like this was the biggest thing for me. Like I would backlog a bunch of content and then I wouldn't record for a while. And then all of a sudden I'd be like, shoot, I don't have anything. I need to make sure I like sit down and do this. And creating content is way more fun when we just like have a plan for it. So I would definitely say that creating this video on demand library will be much more enjoyable if you've got some sort of content schedule that you're working with, and then also some sort of scheduling plan that you're working within. All right, friends, we're going to take a quick little break. I'm going to tell you more about the really awesome free course I created with OfferingTree, and then we'll be back to talk more about how to scale your yoga business with video on demand. Hey, everyone. We're just taking a quick break from the podcast to talk about OfferingTree. Let's face it, online yoga is here to stay. And if you're already teaching online, you have everything you need to get started with an on-demand video library. A video library can be a real game changer for your yoga or wellness business. Let me just give you a quick example. My mom is a part of a yoga studio where she practices online. She had a super, super busy summer, seeing family and friends and traveling quite a bit. And she was telling me how if it hadn't been for the video on demand library, she probably would have put a pause on her membership. But because she could practice with the videos anytime, anywhere, she decided to keep her membership. I know that building out a brand new offering isn't always as easy as it sounds. And video can be really, really intimidating. That's why I'm super excited to tell you about a new course from OfferingTree that will teach you how to use on-demand video to scale your business. This course is less than an hour and it's completely free. Head on over to offeringtree.com/course to get started. In a little over an hour, you'll learn how to plan, launch, and maintain an on-demand video library that actually makes a difference for your business. The course helps you think through a strategy and pick which video model works best for you and your business. Then you'll learn what you need to record, edit, and upload your videos, plus pointers about pricing and marketing. OfferingTree is a software company that makes it easy for yoga teachers and other wellness entrepreneurs to sell classes, courses, and videos all in one place. This course is an amazing resource and it's free. So what are you waiting for? Go to offeringtree.com/course to get started. All right, now back to the episode. All right, friends, we're back and we are continuing this conversation on how to scale your yoga business with video on demand. And I wanted to dive into how we can actually set this up in our businesses. And so one of the things that I mentioned before was that you can have this video on demand library as a bonus for your members. So the people in your business or in your yoga studio who already pay for a monthly membership, now you can offer them this bonus of these recorded videos. And so this is a pretty cool option, like I mentioned earlier on in this podcast episode, where it can help with retention. So if somebody's unable to make it to a class, or, you know, there's a tech glitch and they can't get into class or something like that, it's really cool to know that there's this library of videos that they can go to and they can practice with. In one of the examples that I talked about in that OfferingTree ad that just played a couple of minutes ago was my mom and the online membership she has. And so I just want to expand on that a little bit more. So basically, she's the type of student who typically would probably, you know, either cancel or pause her membership during her really busy months. And so normally she's quite busy around the holiday season and she's quite busy in the summer. And so she's not able to commit to, you know, coming to a class at like 9:30 in the morning or at noon or, you know, 5 p.m. It's just not going to work with her schedule regularly. And so she probably wouldn't pay for a monthly membership. But the studio that she's practicing with has this video on demand library. And she was telling me about how, you know, it's been so great this summer because she can just do videos whenever she is available and whenever she's free. So it's not that she doesn't have any time. It's just that she doesn't have time to commit to a regular schedule with yoga. And a couple of weeks can go by where she's basically not practicing at all. And with the video on demand library, this means she can get up in the morning and do a video that's, you know, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, as opposed to a 60-minute class at a certain time. And because of that, she said she's kept her membership where she would have normally, you know, canceled or maybe pause the membership. And this is something with the studios that I've worked with and with the teachers that I've been working with that I've just been hearing time and time again, and why I'm so excited about the opportunity of video on demand. I just think it's a really great opportunity to retain your current students and to keep them happy so that they're able to practice anytime, anywhere. And you can just use this as a bonus. So this can be like a bonus cost for your members. So if you're a member, you get access to all of the video on demand videos, essentially. And I really feel like for the studios that I work with, this was like a savior during the pandemic. And I talked about this earlier on, where it was like we had tech glitches and, you know, quality wasn't always the best, but it was kind of this like, thank you so much for staying with us and being patient as we figure this out. Here are these like free videos. And now that the free videos are higher quality and much more organized, people really love it. We get a lot of really great feedback on, you know, how it's really benefited them and benefited their practices. And some people are even practicing more than they were before. So just want to reiterate that this is, you know, a hugely potent benefit for your members that can cause people to actually want to sign up for a monthly membership and can even cause them to want to stay on with you when they normally maybe would have canceled. The other thing you can do is you can have an additional price for non-members. So maybe you have like a standalone price that's a monthly membership for the video on-demand library. And you just want to make sure that you price this accordingly so that your members aren't feeling like, oh, you know, I pay X amount for what I get and these people pay, you know, X amount. So you want to make sure that it feels like a cost that is affordable per month for access to videos, but then something that is also not going to kind of devalue what you've created or devalue your monthly membership. And so the price ranges that I've been seeing online that I think have been quite common have been pretty much anywhere from like $10 a month to like around $50 a month. I personally think that $10 a month is pretty low. Obviously, this is going to be really dependent on, you know, how many videos are in your library, how much you're putting out, how much you're charging for your live streams, how much you're charging for a membership that includes live stream and video on demand. So you want to price that all accordingly. But it's hard for me to kind of think of a pricing structure where you can make a sustainable income with, you know, having 20 to 50 regular students and still be able to charge a decent amount for your live streams and for your monthly membership. So I would say that for a standalone video on demand library, I would be looking more at the like $25 to $50 range. $25 is more of what some of those bigger platforms have been charging, like Glow Yoga, etc. And really, you want to be looking at like what you're offering people, because if you're offering people a ton of value or a ton of videos, then of course you should be charging accordingly with that. And a real life example that I'll give you is with one of the studios that I work with that's based in Canada. Our monthly membership has a couple of tiers. So if you want to do both in-person classes and online classes, then the price of the monthly membership is $95. So that includes in-person, online, as well as all access to the video on-demand library, plus those people get discounts off workshops and registered programs and stuff like that. They also get free access to yoga challenges that we run a couple times a year. And then the second tier is online only. So online only gives access to the live online classes, which is most of what we're doing right now. So most of our classes are hybrid. So they get a good variety there, and then they get access to the video on-demand library, and that is $65 a month. And then how we priced our video on-demand library just on its own is $39 a month. And so if all you want is access to the video on-demand library, then it's $39 a month. But one thing we decided that we wouldn't do is we actually don't put all of our classes on there. So all the classes are recorded, and then we just choose, you know, a sprinkling of them, kind of like a sampling of the classes. Because it's a studio, there are, you know, 30 plus classes on the schedule per week. So that would just be an insane amount of videos to be putting out. And we would have to charge way more for the video on demand library. And so this has been really great because we have students who have come and visited, who now live elsewhere, who have been practicing with us through the video on demand library. You know, we have students in China and in the UK, in Australia, in the US. And so people are all over the place with that offering. And then we have a lot of people who have just been practicing with us online who are from, you know, different provinces and stuff like that, or people who have obviously not been comfortable coming into the studio. So having these tiered pricing options has worked really well for that studio. And you can see from the pricing that we've tried not to discount things too much. So it's kind of based on what you actually want with your membership. And you can really think about this in terms of like how you are pricing your offerings, what offerings you do have. But I would say make sure that you're not just basically giving your videos away for free. You should definitely be valuing them at something. And I would say definitely no longer lower than $10 per month. And I would really encourage you to go a little bit higher. Another option you have with video on demand is sort of like the Apple model, or like the old school movie rental model. So if you guys remember like the days of Blockbuster when you could go into like a movie store and rent a movie for the weekend, you could basically think of a model like this where somebody could either rent or buy a class. So if you have a bunch of classes up, you could look at like a rental price of maybe, you know, $4.99 or something like that, and then a purchase price of like $10 or $10 and $20, however you want to price those. Make sure it's priced accordingly with what your drop-in rates are. And then people could have access to those videos either for, you know, like a 48 or 72 hour time period. And then also they could purchase it and have access to the videos for life. So this is another option that you can do. I'm personally a bigger fan of the monthly membership option. One, I think it's just a more streamlined pricing option and it kind of takes away that decision factor for people. People want things to just be easy. And also people are often not just looking for like one video. So unless you do something specialty like a workshop or like a one-off masterclass, I think that people were probably just looking to practice yoga in general. And then also for you as the business owner, it's going to be a lot more beneficial if you can have people on monthly recurring revenue. I mean, one of the things that's so hard about being, you know, a contractor and self-employed is never really knowing how much money you're going to make per month. And for those of you who have done the full-time yoga teacher grind, you definitely know what I'm talking about. So being able to think about having, you know, say you have 20 members at, you know, $30 a month, knowing that you're making that income every month is going to be so helpful for you in terms of planning for finances and planning for how you invest money back into your business and that type of thing. So know that there's a couple of different options in terms of how you set this up, but I would definitely say the monthly model, more of the Netflix model versus like the Blockbuster old Apple model, is going to be more beneficial. And it's kind of interesting because for ages, Apple did the, you could rent like a movie or a TV show, or you could purchase it. So there'd be like the rent and then the buy option on movies. And I think that they've kind of even steered away from that to develop Apple TV, which is much more similar to Netflix. So maybe even take a lesson from these bigger companies that have been doing this in a different capacity, where if you can have people on a monthly membership, it's going to be much more beneficial for you than these one-off purchases. Again, I want you to look at your business, your students, what you have available to them, what you're creating, what your intention is, and really make that decision on your own. But that would be my advice for that. Now, the last thing that I want to talk about in this episode is how we actually set this all up. And I know you guys heard a little bit earlier me talking about Offering Tree and how amazing their platform is. And I truly mean that. It is a awesome platform for setting up, you know, your store, your products, your videos, your membership, your courses, your live online classes, all of that good stuff. And they also have a really great option for video on demand. So while there are lots of different softwares out there that can help you with this and make it very simple for you to upload videos, organize them into categories, set a pricing system on them, and then actually start selling them, I'm going to go ahead and recommend Offering Tree as my top choice for doing this. It is so easy. And through making the mini course that I talked about earlier in the episode, I was able to really see firsthand just how simple it is to upload everything. And so I would say check out Offering Tree to get started with this. Sometimes it can be fun to like shop around with different softwares and see if there's something else that you like. And then, you know, see what you decide to move forward with. But having worked with Offering Tree myself, that would definitely be my recommendation. And all of the questions that you have in terms of like, oh, well, can I set up a video to be like a monthly membership and then also you know, rent it and sell it as a one-off. All of that can be done through OfferingTree. And yes, you can do all of those things. So basically, being with a really great software means that what you have to do is you need to sit down, you need to talk to your people, you need to decide what you want to put in your video library, you need to decide on the pricing and how you want to set that up. And then basically from there, you just need to put it all together and start marketing it. Start telling your students about it, start putting it out there to the world, which is so much more fun than struggling with the tech side of things. So allow a great software to kind of help you out with that, and don't struggle with trying to figure out pricing and packaging and monthly charging and all that sort of stuff. And so I'm going to wrap it up here. There is lots more to talk about with video on demand, but I do talk a lot more in depth in the mini course. So if this has been interesting to you and you do want to dive a bit deeper and you want to see visually how to do all of this, you can head on over to OfferingTree.com/course. If you're not really familiar with OfferingTree and you want to check them out, again, you do get a little discount if you head on over to OfferingTree.com/MBO. Of course, if you have any questions for me or you want to talk more about video on demand, definitely make sure you reach out, info@MBOmYoga.com. And yeah, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the show. We haven't done a solo episode in a long time, and it was pretty fun to just sit here and talk all about how to scale your yoga business with video on demand. So thanks for listening, and I'll see you next week. Bye for now. Thank you so much for tuning in for this episode of the podcast. To find links, notes, resources, and everything mentioned in today and all episodes of the show, you can head on over to mbomyoga.com. You can find the podcast and myself on Facebook and social media at Mastering the Business of Yoga. And I would love for you to join the private Facebook community, Yoga Business Badasses. If you have any questions, comments, or feedback, please make sure you reach out to me at info@mbomyoga.com. And last of all, if you enjoyed this episode of the show, please make sure you hit subscribe and leave a review for the podcast. It would mean the world. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you next week. Namaste.